it will come to pass in the last days that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to week 4 of our series on dreams and visions sent by God. We are diving into Bible stories about these dreams and visions. But as we've been saying, these aren't just for seers and prophets and saints of old. God continues to speak to us today through these supernatural wonders. Now, so far in this series, we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about the difference between dreams and visions. We've looked at the 3 main types of visions that God could send us. We also looked at the many reasons that God sometimes sends dreams and visions to us. And then last week, we explored how these supernatural experiences can sometimes come as visible manifestations of God Himself or Christ Himself. These are called theophanies or Christophanies. And these particular types of supernatural wonders happen when God wants to make Himself known, or Christ wants to make Himself known more fully to us for the purpose of establishing a deeper relationship, or calling us into conversion, or to an important mission. Now, in case you missed any of the episodes of this series, they're all available on our website, sthilary.org. But God sends dreams and visions on His own terms, and not ours, on His timetable, not ours. We can't force God to speak to us in this way, but what we can do is make ourselves more available to receive these messages when He does choose to send them. And that's what we're going to spend some time talking about today. I believe there are many times God communicates with us through dreams or visions, but we simply miss them. We either don't grasp that they are from God, or we chalk them up to strange daydreams or the weird food we ate the night before. It takes a certain spiritual awareness and sensitivity to be able to sense God's hand in these experiences. To be honest, when I started preparing for this series, I was wondering, you know, what I could share, what I could talk about it when it came to dreams and visions from God, because honestly, I didn't think I had experienced any. But once I started immersing myself in the topic, all these memories of God-sent visions came flooding back, several of which I've already shared with you in this series. So I think it's easy to dismiss or overlook these awesome experiences. Now, according to experts, there are basically 3 ways of opening ourselves more fully to receiving dreams and visions from God. The first way is through authentic worship. Visions and dreams from God obviously should lead us into worship. But worship also is a way of receiving dreams and visions. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the story of the Transfiguration. You know, Jesus took 3 of His closest disciples to a high mountain and was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white and His face became radiant like the sun. And then we heard a voice booming from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." It was a vision of the future when all people would worship Christ. And then, look at what happened right after that. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. It wasn't really fear, as in horror or dread, but more like holy fear, or what you might call reverence, awe of God. After all, they were in His immediate presence, and they did what any person of faith would do in that moment. They worshiped. Now, worship includes your best focus and attention at Mass. That's sort of a baseline requirement. But real worship includes far more than just singing, praying, and listening to a sermon. Every activity can be transformed into an act of worship when you do it to honor and praise God. The heart of worship is surrendering ourselves to God. It involves trust, obedience, and constant conversation. Authentic worship has to be heartfelt. It has to be thoughtful. You know, some people have just kind of gotten into a rut when it comes to worship, especially at Mass. They show up, they sing, they say the responses, they stand, they kneel, they sit when they're supposed to. But sometimes their heart's not in it, and their mind is somewhere else. They're not bad people. Just all of us can sometimes get distracted, even the priest sometimes. But the more you are able to worship fully, the more you are able to praise God truly from your heart, the more attentive you are to His glory, the more likely God will begin to speak to you in your visions and your dreams about the great future that awaits you. The second way of making ourselves more available to dreams and visions sent from God is through service. One of the best ways to open yourself to a possible theophany of your own is to be a person for others. Last week, we looked at the story of the ancient prophet Elijah. Remember that? He was on the run from the evil queen Jezebel. She wanted to hunt him down and kill him for having embarrassed her by slaughtering her false prophets who were doing evil in the land. While Elijah was on the run and he became exhausted and discouraged, he came to a mountain, and it's there that he experienced God directly in an auditory vision, a vision that he heard with his own ears. It was as real to him as if God was standing right next to him. He heard the still, small voice of God, and that gave him the courage to go back into service, to go back and fulfill his mission to be a prophet for God. The more you serve humbly, the more you give of yourself to others as Elijah did, as Christ did, as the disciples and saints have done, the more likely God will begin to speak to you in your dreams and visions so that you also can be encouraged and have the strength to continue in that mission and in that form of service. Well, the third way of accessing dreams and visions is through quiet, contemplative prayer. Not the kind of prayer where you're doing all the talking. I love that kind of prayer. I love to chat God up. But it's more than that. Most people do a lot of talking when they pray. And that's good. That's fine. You should be talking to God. You should tell Him all your concerns. God wants to hear your worries. He wants to hear what you have to say. He wants to comfort you and help you. But if you want to grow in your spiritual awareness and your acuity so you can experience the Lord communicating to you on a more supernatural level, like dreams and visions, well, quiet listening and just sitting in God's presence is the way to go. The more you're able to clear your mind and be receptive to the promptings of the Spirit in prayer, the more likely you will sense visions and make sense of your dreams. A small disclaimer, though, it's like exercise. It takes time. It won't happen overnight, but consistent practice of silence and quiet prayer, even for short periods of time at first, will eventually do wonders. A few years ago, I was on retreat with other priests from the Archdiocese. It was a week of deep and silent prayer. One afternoon, I was praying in the chapel, and I heard God speaking to me. And the message that reverberated in my heart was this: come down with me. I'm sorry, what, God? Come down with me. Well, I asked a few times and I kept hearing the same words. I understood this finally to be an invitation from Christ, an invitation to follow him more deeply into the life of the cross, into a life of sacrifice, into a life of dying to oneself, to myself. Come down with me into the tomb. That's what I heard over and over again. I still don't fully understand what it all means, but I do remember my response. Yes, Lord, I will follow you because I want to be wherever you are, even if that means being in the tomb. And I realized in that moment that following Christ was my deepest heart's desire, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light, even in the worst and darkest places of life, because he's there. He's there because we know him personally. And his burden is light and his yoke is easy because there's no other place we'd rather be than with him. And so even in the worst of times, it makes things much easier when we are in his presence. And when we're willing to follow Christ, even to the depths of hell, because that's where he is, then we can really know him as Lord and Savior. So I kept saying, yes, Lord, I will come down. I will come down with you because I have learned to find you, and I desire to know you in the cross. And every time the burdens of leadership, the trials of pastoral ministry, and there are many, and just the difficulties of trying to live a good Christian life start to weigh on me, I remember that vision. And I thank God for it. But here's the thing. I probably would not have experienced that vision if I were not in deep prayer at that moment. I think that's why visions occur so rarely for a lot of us. But equally important as establishing a regular rhythm of prayer to open ourselves to divine messages from God is the discipline of praying for the vision once we receive it. In order to receive visions, we need to be in deep prayer. But once we receive a vision from God, we need to be in deep prayer about that vision. When God offers a vision or communicates with us in a dream, he gives the dream or a vision to us for his purpose, for the purpose of fulfilling his vision for the world. Ultimately, it's his dream, his vision that he's sharing with you. God sets dreams and visions in motion by sending them to us. Because when he sets those dreams and visions into motion, he starts a process that will ultimately lead to the fulfillment of his intentions, and we play an important part in that process. In the first reading today from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah is revealed, a vision is revealed to him. And God says to Isaiah, "My salvation is about to come. My justice is about to be revealed." And then he explains the vision. Salvation will be offered to all people, not just the select few, not just those with the right pedigree or social background, not just those who have a certain ancestral lineage, but to every person. And when that vision is eventually fulfilled, God then said to Isaiah, "My house, when it's fulfilled, that vision is fulfilled, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." That's God's vision. And in the meantime, human beings play a part in bringing that vision to fulfillment? Partly by just simply praying for it. The gospel reading is a good example. Jesus begins to venture outside of his familiar stomping grounds around the Sea of Galilee into Gentile territory. Foreigners who worshiped other gods lived in that region. They were descendants of the ancient Canaanites. You might have heard of them. The Canaanites were a fierce people, and they were the archenemies of the Jews when they first moved into that area centuries earlier. Well, in the story from the gospel, a woman comes to Jesus and begs him to heal her daughter. But the problem was she was not a Jew. She was a Canaanite. As you can imagine, this woman, in the minds of the Jewish people and Jesus' own disciples, could not have been less deserving of his attention. And so Jesus told her the unvarnished truth. He said, "Look, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, not to foreigners like you, and certainly not to Canaanites. That may seem a little harsh, but the woman persisted. Three times she called Jesus Lord and asked him to help her. And finally, Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. The Canaanite woman is a model of effective prayer. And somehow, I believe she knew deep down, she had to know deep down that Jesus had come to save everyone, not just a few. And although the passage doesn't explicitly say it, I think she somehow must have been given some sort of insight, a type of vision or revelation from God that this is why Christ had come, to save everyone. I think that's why she persisted. I think that's why she called him Lord three times. I think that's why she persevered in prayer in total humility, total humility. Any dream or vision you receive from God is not given exclusively for your benefit, but for the fulfillment of God's ultimate vision. But like the woman in the gospel story, like Isaiah, who received the vision about God's universal dream for humanity, you can be an agent of change for God. Bringing about that vision, whatever vision or dream God has given you, you can be an agent of change for Him by praying for the fulfillment of that dream or vision that you have been given. The first step is to write down the vision. We've mentioned this a few times in the series. It's important to write down whatever dream or vision you receive as soon as you receive it. Writing it down makes it real. Plus, you won't forget it. The Bible says, "Write down the vision clearly upon the tablets so that one can read it readily." The second step is to wait for the vision to form. To be patient and trust that with prayerful patience, it will come to pass. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The third step is to walk with the Holy Spirit in prayer and long obedience to the vision you have been given. Pray daily for the vision. Get excited about it. Be passionate in its fulfillment. A few years ago, we were given a vision from God for our church here at St. Hilary. We wrote it down. Our vision statement is this: we strive to be a community growing in faith where everyone loves to belong. We pray for that vision constantly. We consistently plan and work to rebuild our parish and conform everything we do so that that vision will one day come to pass. And we wait for it patiently, trusting in God to bring it to fulfillment in his time. There's no question that God has put something on your heart, a vision of the future in some aspect of your life. It may have materialized in a dream or through a vision you experienced. If so, write it down. Wait for it. Pray for it daily. And if it's from God, it will surely come to pass.